Today's message, choose well what you carry. Doesn't that sound like a great biblical sermon? Woo! Come right, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about there. Well, my plan was to be done with this sermon in about 5 minutes. I can say everything I want to say in about 2.5, but I thought I'd stretch it all the way out to 5. But then I started getting into it, and that might not be the case. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. But as you go there, I'm going to take a quip out of Romans chapter 6, verse 16. And that's going to be my key idea today. You are slaves to the one whom you obey. That's Romans 6:16, it's part of it. And that's really the key of what we're going to talk about today. It's not you will be, or you could be, or it's possible that you would be. It's not what it says. It says you are slaves of the one whom you obey. And I want that just to kind of rattle around the old squirrel cage for a while as we go through this today. You are the slave of the one you choose to obey, all right? But before we do that, I have a question. Boy, does it, Bryce, can you kill some lights for me? Because that picture's a little washed out and it's kind of hard to see. Just kill them. Just kill them. There's plenty of outside light. Can you see what those are? Turn them off, Bryce. Can you see, anybody know what they are? What? No. What? Do you know? That's okay. Good idea, but no. These are world famous. And when I say world famous, I honestly mean world famous rocks. They are called the Denny Stones. You all knew that, right? You're all looking at me like I'm weird. 733 combined pounds. Leave them off. 733 combined pounds. The little one weighs 318.5 pounds, and the big one weighs 414.5 pounds. And they were used as counterweights by stonemasons. These two in particular. They were building a. This is in Scotland, which has the Highland Games, right? Scotland. Okay, they were building this, they were doing some restoration to a bridge back in the late 1800s, and they would use these stones as counterbalances so that they could move the rocks that needed to be shifted and get everything, and so that's what they're from. But they weigh 733 pounds, right? They're called the Denny Stones, and they're world famous. They're world famous because of this guy. This is a terrible picture. It doesn't show up really well. But that's Donald Denny. Okay? Donald Denny. He was a... What do you think he did for a living? Stonemason, right? Yeah, okay. He and his dad were stonemasons, and you can turn them on now. Donald Denny. He was a stonemason. He won... You can kill some of these back here. Can you see that now? Whatever. He won over 1,000 strength contests. Many of them, tossing the caber. You know, you get a pole that weighs like 150 pounds. It's over 20 feet long. And you pick it up and then you toss it so that it flips over. He won over 1,000 of those, as well as many other strength contests. Both he and his father would, in feats of strength, pick up these stones. In fact, it was over 100 years before anyone else would be able to put wind under the stones. And if you think about it, 733 pounds, that's at the very top of the elite level of deadlift. But it's nowhere near the 1,100-pound world record. Think about this. 1,100 pounds is the world record for deadlift. Lots of people can do 800 and 900. But there's been less than 200 people to ever pick these stones up at the same time, unassisted. Because one's over 400 and one's over 300. And they just don't work. I watched the world competition of them carrying these. Do you know what the world record distance is of carrying these? It used to be. No, it's less than 12 feet. It's like right around 11 or 12 feet. Held by Brian Shaw out of Denver, Colorado. But it's been, these are amazing stones, right? And they're hard to carry. They're really, really heavy. And why am I talking about this? Well, if you've got your Bible open to Deuteronomy chapter 10, we're going to be taking a look at the fact that Moses has to carry some rocks today. But before we get into that, I want to give you a brief review of what's going on in Deuteronomy. I want to see if we can remember that Deuteronomy is an ancient contract or covenant. It's a bond, a legal bond between a lord, a master, and the vassal or the underling. Okay, it's actually follows many of the same. Well, many of the ancient contracts follow Deuteronomy, but that's what it is. It reviews, and we've seen this throughout Deuteronomy, what the Lord has done and what he's going to do for the vassal. It says, this is how I've treated you in the past, and this is how I'll treat you in the future. I've done these great things and glorious things for you. This is what I'm going to do. It lays out what the vassal will do. And it also states expectations, not only for the Lord, but also for his vassals. So we look in here and we can see expectations about who and what God is and what he's going to do. And we will see expectations for who and what Israel will do. Deuteronomy is a treaty between the Lord, Jehovah, and Israel, his chosen people. Okay? Now let's take a look in here. In chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, we're going to see a lot of these expectations kind of boiled out and boiled down and very very clearly we're going to see these. If we take a look in chapter 10, let's start in verse 1. At that time, the Lord... Well, what time was that? Remember, they're standing on the bank of the Jordan River, looking across into the Promised Land, and Moses is rehearsing with the people the history that brought them to this moment. And most recently, he pointed back to the story of the golden calf. You remember that? Moses comes down off the mountain. What happens? You guys can see Charlton Heston. It's okay. Comes down, and what does he do? He has a hissy fit, and he throws down the stone tablets and shatters them, and they have that whole thing. So after Moses' hissy fit, I appreciate that, this is where we're at. At that time, the Lord said to me, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain. You get it? He's got to carry these two stones. Do you understand now why I was showing you the Dinny stones? It's like 7,000 feet up Mount Sinai. Over 3,000 steps have been carved into the mountain. I don't care how small those tablets are. By the end, you're going to feel like they weigh a billion tons. So here's Moses, and this is what the Lord has said. Cut for yourself two tablets of stone as at first. Come up to me on the mountain. Make an ark of wood. And so we see that Moses has to cut some stones. He has to build an ark, and he has to return to the mountain. But there's more than just expectations for Moses here. Look down, what is it? Oh, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Then skip down to verse 19. It says, one more command, love the sojourner. So these are the commands that God has, the expectations that in this contract between Jehovah and Israel, this is what God expects of the nation of Israel. Fear the Lord, walk in all His ways, love Him, serve Him, keep His commandments, and to love the sojourner. Now, the last one is put there, and it's got a special little caveat, because remember, you used to be sojourners in Egypt, okay? Extra little spike there. So those are the expectations. Pretty straightforward, right? Anything earth-shaking in this? We've all heard this before, right? Fear the Lord, walk in all His ways, love Him, serve Him, keep the commandments, all right? There's some expectations for God that are found in here too. Look down here, verse 14. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Part of what Deuteronomy is about is what the Lord can do for the Israelites. Now, if you take a pauper and you compare him to Bill Gates, who's going to be able to do more for you? I mean, the pauper can wish you well, but Bill Gates, he's got enough money, he could, like, buy you Texas, right? Or maybe a small continent like Australia, you know? And that's what God's saying is, I own everything. I can bless you beyond your comprehension. I own heaven. I own the heaven of heavens. I own the earth and all that is in it. God owns everything, and thus He can bless them in every way. Not only that, what else does it say about the Lord? Look down here. Verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice. Now, if we were just to stop the sentence right there, He executes justice. You might think that He's some judge, that all He's going to do is guilty, 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 guilty. But justice involves more than that. There is not only justice for the evildoer, there's justice for everyone else as well. And look what He says. He executes justice for the fatherless, the widow, and loves the sojourner. So we get a picture of a God who has all of this power, and He's going to use it in the benefit of the people. Not just the good people that you like, you know, the ones that shower regularly, the ones that invite you out to dinner on occasions, the ones who's going to come over and help you when you need it. He's not just going to do good to those. He's going to execute justice to those that have no strength. The fatherless, the widows, those people that have lost their homes because a tornado came through and wiped it out, the sojourners, those people who've had lost everything in a house fire, and now they're wandering around, what can I do? See, the Lord has strength and power and ability to do justly to everyone. Now I want you to consider a couple of things. Let's take a look at Romans 6:16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death, or of obedience which leads to righteousness. There's a lot of choices we face today. You can either make this choice, or you can make this choice. You can either put in the effort here, or you'll put in the effort there. One of my favorites is this one. Smart versus stupid. As a former high school teacher, a lot of kids chose the second one, let me tell you. Do you know what it takes to be smart? You know what it takes to be well-educated? Unless you're Chris Townley, who's stinking brilliant. Jerk. I once read a book, and on the bus ride in from Plain, told him what the book was about. We both turned in when I got done telling him, wrote his book report off of what I said because he never read it. He got an A, I got a C-. That ain't right. But so for those of us that aren't him, it takes study, it takes work, it takes effort. When I went back to school to get my teaching certificate, I spent so much time in the library, they thought I was an employee and invited me to the employee's picnic. A serious, true story. I'm like, dude, I don't work here. What? If you got to make the choice to either put in the time to earn your education or not. Do you know what the difference is between those people that put in the time to get educated? They get good grades. You know what the good grades do? Let them get into a better college. You know what they get with a better college? They get a better job. You know what they get a better job? More money. Versus those people who decide to turn their nose up on education, you know what they get? Welfare. It's really that simple. You can put in the time and work hard, or you can deny it, you know, and not understand what's happening around you. That's a real choice. All mom and dads are going bam to their kids. You can be strong or you can be weak. You can make the choice to get up and do the hard work every day. Build up your abilities. And it could be strong and I don't know. Let's take my musical talent. I like playing the guitar. I'm not good at it. I have no rhythm, but I like it. And the more I practice, the better I get. And you all say yes, right? But the more effort you put into something, the better and stronger and more capable you are. Versus, if you don't practice, if you don't try, if you don't do the work, good luck with that. You will either choose to pay for the ability to do something, or you won't. Do you know what happens then? Then you don't have the abilities. I hate getting up in the morning and exercising. Amen. I absolutely hate it. But you know what I like to do? I like to walk my dogs. I like to have the ability to grab a hold of something and move it. I like to have the strength to be able to do things. So what do? I kick my wife out of the bed and I tell her to get to work so she can be strong enough to do it. No, I get up and I try and I work. If I don't do my push-ups, my back starts to hurt. If I don't want my back to hurt, I do my push-ups. You can choose to either fear God or ignore Him. That's a choice you face. Fear the Lord or dismiss Him. It's a legitimate choice everybody gets to make. He can either be the number one item in your life or not. But that choice carries consequences. You can choose to be a witness or choose not to be a witness. Those choices carry consequences. Romans 6:16. I'm going to read it again. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Question for you. Why did Moses have to carry those stones up the mountain? Well, you know, God needed to write the Ten Commandments. No. Moses already had carried those stones down the mountain. I wonder if Moses had a problem with anger. He broke the Ten Commandments. He struck the rock. You see, he made choices. And because of those choices, he experienced the consequences. How does God treat those who choose to love and serve him? What burden will you carry? Will you carry the burden of fearing the Lord? Because it is a burden. We live in a world that hates everything that God says and does. We live in a society which rejects the truth that is found in the Word of God. If you choose to live in the fear of the Lord, you choose to be rejected by our society. That's just the reality. Will you love yourself or will you love the Lord? Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Simple message today, people. Straight and to the point. Will you choose to live in the fear of the Lord? It means work. It doesn't say that he's going to carry the load for you. But I'm going to tell you something. You will find peace in your soul. You will find rest in the presence of God that no one knows in the world. Who will you choose to serve?